I'd like to turn to three scriptures tonight, perhaps all pretty well known. The first one is in the Gospel of John and chapter 14. Verse 1. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe on God, believe also on me. In my Father's house there are many abodes. Were it not so, I had told you. For I go to prepare your place, and if I go and shall prepare your place, I'm coming again, and shall receive you to myself. And where I am, ye also may be. And ye know where I go, and ye know the way. Thomas says to him, Lord, we know not where thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus says to him, I am the way, and the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father unless by me. Now if we could turn to Matthew chapter 2. We perhaps know the story very well. I just want to refer to the last verse of the story. This is the story of the Magi that come to see the Lord Jesus. So go to chapter 2 and verse 12. And it says of them, And being divinely instructed in a dream not to return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. Finally, if we look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4, reading from verse 8, this is Paul writing. And he says, Every way afflicted, but not straitened, seeing no apparent issue, but our way not entirely shut up, persecuted, but not abandoned, cast down, but not destroyed, always bearing about in the body the dying of Jesus, that the life also of Jesus may be manifested in our body. I think we all know something about losing our way. It may be trivial, it may be major, but we've all taken a wrong turn at some point in our lives and ended up on a road which is going the wrong way. We've got a choice, don't we? We can admit it, stop, then turn round, or we can try various efforts at adjusting our course, or we can just plough on regardless and hope that it will all sort out itself in the end. Well, in the Gospel, when we talk about the end, we refer to the end of time and the start of eternity. No small matter. There is no greater matter which we could cover tonight. I've mentioned before that the favourite song today in the United Kingdom to be played at a funeral service is called My Way. Popular song called My Way with the repeated refrain, I did it my way. Well, we know where that way ends. We know where the way of man ends. It ends in death. Many years ago, I was working at a local country fair. I was aware of the compere who was speaking over the loudspeaker, trying to amuse the crowd before the next lot of animals came into the circle. And he told a story. The story was about a man who was preaching. So I was instantly quite interested in what he had to say. And the bent of the story was that there was a passing throng going past this man as he stood by the roadside, and he was crying out to them that they were on the road to hell. Well, I listened, and the punchline to the story was that some old farmer had turned to the preacher and responded by saying, Aye, but it's a fine day for it. Clearly some found this funny, but I was struck at the time at just how unfunny it was and how serious it was, because it described accurately the attitude of many who are on the way to a lost eternity. Some take the low road of crime, vice, dishonesty and infamy. Some take the high road of success, fame and good cheer. Some travel with friends and some travel themselves, all alone. But with the matter of sins outstanding and no peace made with a holy and righteous God, the destination of a lost soul on a sinful path is as sorrowful as it is certain. Put very plainly, and I can't think of a simpler way of putting it, you and I are both by nature and profession sinners. We are unfit for the presence of God, and we are unable to do anything about it. We need a saviour, and that's why I've read about Jesus in my opening scripture. The lot of man is a gloomy one until the saviour appears on the scene. Jesus, God's Son. Here is a perfect man, and he's speaking to his disciples. He's speaking to us too in the scripture. He was on a path. His way was the way of the cross, to secure a means by which you and I, the sinner, could be righteously saved. Sin brought in death. Blood had to be shed before God could righteously be satisfied that his holy claims had been met. Jesus was on his way to shed that blood and take on the entire matter of sin. Here he makes a claim which we are privileged to pass on today, namely that he is the way. Jesus didn't outline some creed or religion that would deal with sin. He didn't bring in some rules like the law of old that would work, or point towards some venerable relic, or have to climb some Tibetan mountain or other pilgrimage site that needed to be visited in order to bring peace. His message was and is clear, uncomplicated, and understandable in every culture, people, and language. I am the way, and the truth, and the life. Are we troubled about our sin, about our relationship with God? If we don't know Jesus as our Saviour, then we should be. The illustration has often been given of a troubled child. A child that's upset. You try logic, ideas, images, amusement, but it remains troubled and upset. Nothing will placate it. It wants its mother. Play for time, distraction tactics, favours, not a bit of it. The child may smile momentarily, but is still upset. Ah, but the mother appears on the scene, and all is well. The crying stops, whatever the circumstances. We've all seen that played out in different ways. It's the person, and person of the mother alone, who brings peace to the troubled child. It's the person of Christ who brings in peace to the troubled soul. Not an improvement of circumstances. I can't promise your circumstances will improve by coming to Jesus. Indeed, for many, the outward circumstances get worse, and I'm deeply humbled by the faithfulness of Christians who suffer for their faith in lands where there's terrible persecution and oppression. Can we say, I have Christ, what want I more? Thomas here asks the question, and the Lord gives him that gracious answer, and we are brought into the knowledge of this, Jesus as the way. He went that way in order that we don't have to. If we'd hung on a cross, we would have hung on a cross as a sinner. But he hung on the cross sinless, but nevertheless bearing the whole matter of sin, that we could go free. Well, I read about these magi in Matthew chapter 2. I'm interested in these magi. The way that they came is interesting. The way that they leave is more so. They came from the east. That's all we know for sure, although it's interesting to note that many centuries earlier, Daniel records in his book of the scribes, magicians, and sorcerers in the court of King Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon. I don't know if that's where these men came from, but he uses these men's interest and knowledge of astronomy to guide them on a journey. Many do not arrive at a knowledge of Christ immediately. Maybe you're like that. Like Naaman many years earlier. First of all, they went to see the king. Not a good king either. King Herod, very evil king. I suppose they may have thought that the king of the Jews would be found there in Jerusalem. They were redirected. And if you're on the wrong track tonight, I trust the gospel will redirect you. And we all know the story of how they came to see the little child Jesus. These men, Gentiles just like us, or most of us I would imagine, who are listening tonight, fell down before Jesus and did him homage. That's what we must do tonight. I didn't read the whole story. I'm sure that we all know it. But I wanted to draw attention in particular to the verse that I read. As I said earlier, it's always been of interest to me. It says, they departed into their own country another way. I think that's how we must leave the gospel. We cannot just carry on in the way that we were carrying on previously. And that goes for those of us who are believers, as well as anyone who's listening tonight who may still be in their sins. We are now conscious that we are sinners. We know we need a saviour. We've come into contact, as it were, with Jesus. How can we go back to our lives unaffected? We are responsible to what we've come into contact with. These men had to go back to their business in their own country, and we must do the same in ours. But something is different. They had found the way, and their way is changed forever. What a journey these men made. What faith. What would we go and see today? There's no manger at an inn, no house in Bethlehem. If men could identify the tomb which the Lord Jesus lay in, imagine the clamour of people who would wish to see it. People would come from all over the world. And to see what? To see nothing. Far greater than the most extravagant construction of man. Far greater than the most extravagant production of man. Far greater even than the most wonderful offering of creation. An empty tomb. The evidence that death has been taken on by a man and utterly conquered. What a sight. We don't have to make the physical journey. We have God's word for it, and that will suffice. A few years after this, we find an Ethiopian official making the same journey to Jerusalem, the religious centre of the day. And I appreciate that the story of this man was covered on this site a few weeks ago. His peace was not found in Jerusalem. It was found in a desert place, and more importantly, it was found in a person. He made the same discovery the Magi made, and millions of others have made since. Peace is found in the person of Jesus Christ. He goes on his way. How did he go? Rejoicing. That's the last we see of him. We see the dust of his chariot wheels as he disappears over the horizon towards his home in Ethiopia, rejoicing in his newfound freedom. I expect the journey was a lot faster from then on. He came to Jerusalem loaded down with all his sin, questions, bad conscience. He went home with a burden lifted and a rejoicing in his heart. I wonder how we travel. Do we travel light? You might say, well, we're limited in travelling anywhere at the moment. There's a travel ban. But the journey of your life and mine has not been slowed down by any virus or lockdown. And it won't speed up by any vaccination or government policy. A moment has been appointed in your life and mine when we will leave this scene, either for glory or perdition. And God in his grace, in his love, makes an appeal that we repent and believe in Jesus, coming to know him as our Saviour. Ah, but you see, the journey is difficult. Indeed it is. And that's why I thought we'd just finish touching on this scripture in 2 Corinthians. It's another scripture that I've probably referred to many times. It's another favourite of mine. I wonder how we'd get on if we compared our way with that of Apostle Paul. People like to write books, or perhaps today they write blogs on the internet, of their travels and their experiences. In 2 Corinthians, Paul writes a short summary of his. He received stripes or lashes to excess. He was near death in some of his experiences. 3 times scourged, stoned, presumably by the Jews, as that was their method of execution. 3 times shipwrecked, and I believe he was shipwrecked again after this. Passing the night and day in the water, in perils of rivers. He had to deal with robbers. He had to deal with the hatred of the Jews, the opposition of the Gentiles. He had difficulties in the city and difficulties in the desert, at work. Hunger, thirst, cold, and nakedness. We may consider the way of the Christian a trying matter. However, in this scripture, he gives an insight into the completely different outlook a believer in Christ enjoys. He says, in every way afflicted, but not straitened or narrowed, seeing no apparent issue or way out, but our way not entirely shut up, persecuted, but not abandoned, cast down, but not destroyed, and so on. Ultimately, Paul was heading to a cruel death in Rome. We don't know where our path will lead us, but if we have put our faith in the one who has gone into death, who's entered the grave, risen again, ascended into heaven, the one who will shortly call those who love him to be with him, the true and living way that is Jesus, then we can face the future. The hymn goes, I know not what the future holds, but I know who holds the future. We can face the future in the new and living way, in the knowledge that our sins have been put away forever before the eyes of God, and we can enjoy our wonderful Saviour, the friend of sinners. Well, I trust that you have found the way in Jesus, and that now you are of the way, the Christian way. And if you're not, that you find that way tonight. Blessing alone can be found in Jesus. May God add his blessing.